Welcome to Color Story, the podcast that explores the transformative and magical power of color in people's lives. I'm your host, Claire Lacey, and in this episode, we honor Alzheimer's and brain awareness by delving into the incredible role that color plays in providing comfort and communication, even in the absence of verbal language. Our guest, Joan Robb, shares her heartfelt experience of painting her mother's nails as a way to connect and bring joy despite her mother's dementia. Through Joan's touching story, we witness the transformative power of color and its ability to transcend barriers and foster meaningful connections. Join us as we explore how color can become a language of its own, allowing us to express emotions, create moments of joy, and provide comfort, even when words fail us. This episode is a powerful testament to the profound impact that color can have on our lives and the lives of those around us. Together, let's dive into the world of color and discover its remarkable ability to bridge the gaps and illuminate our shared human experiences. Thank you for being here with me today, and I'd love for you to introduce yourself.
My name is Joan Robb, and I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Great. Well, tell me a little bit about your history with color and how it's evolved.
Well, when I was a child, I did a lot of drawing as a little kid, and probably my first sketches were when I had a bunch of teeth pulled when I was really little. And I sketched myself sitting in the dental chair with tears coming down and all the paraphernalia associated with the dentist's office, you know, the drill and
screwdrivers and saws.
Yes. And my mother, unfortunately, I don't know what happened to those drawings, but my mother had kept them for years and years. And it was a very graphic, it showed the whole scenario. And I think I started drawing, and my grandmother was an artist, and I think she greatly influenced me. So I always was encouraged to draw and paint. And in probably through grade school and middle school, I still did a lot of drawing. And then it sort of slacked off in middle school and high school. I did a few things for we had some sort of literary artistic magazine that I had totally forgotten about until somebody reminded me that I was in this, and there were a couple of drawings. But it really sort of slacked off in middle school. And when I retired after 41 years as an academic librarian, I knew that one of the things I wanted to do was get back to things that I was doing when I was about in middle school, where I felt I was being creative, because my profession was very different from that. So I said I was going to take piano to challenge myself, and it is indeed challenging.
Yeah.
And I was going to get back to art and start drawing again and start taking classes, and that's what I've been doing. And I'm hoping to I've been trying a lot of different media to see what I like and what I don't. And I realized that when I look back on the things that I did as a child, I tended not to use color. I tended to paint in black and white and gray. And I think one of my goals is to become more color conscious, because my grandmother's paintings, she did watercolor. She was primarily an oil painter and used palette knife a lot. And her paintings were, you know, of a idealistic Victorian nature, but beautiful. She had a great color sense, and I've always hoped to get there. So that's one of the reasons I'm trying lots of different things, watercolor, oil, acrylic. I'm hoping to try a oil pastel.
And is there one that you find works best for
either like the colors you want to use? There's like richer mediums or...
Well, I think deep down, while I like watercolor and it's difficult, I think, and it's hard to control.
It's not very forgiving.
It's not forgiving at all. You really need to think about it in advance. It's more strategic. And I think that I probably will enjoy oils best once I get there. But I'm not there yet. But I hope to be. I love color, and I'm always amazed at looking in various magazines or galleries, the use of color by other artists. It just fascinates me. So, but it's color to me is very scary.
Why do you say that?
Because I think I was always much better at depicting things without it. And to make that change, that shift is a really big one. I've done watercolor with color, obviously, and have done a few things that I would think are successful, but I don't know why I sort of tended toward the neutrals. I'm not sure. I think it was just, it's a little easier. To me, it was easier. But
well, I think it also eliminates some element, and you can maybe be more strategic with just like plotting out something and then not having to worry about another layer. And so maybe it is more like the librarian coming out.
It's a little more structured and relaxed. It's safer. You know, I think that's, although an artist who paints only in grays and neutrals would argue with me that it's not safe at all, so I better not say that. But for me, I think it was safer. Less decisions, you know?
There's more colors than there are just black and white.
Right.
So a decision paralysis.
Paralysis, that's probably a good way to say how I responded to color, yes. But I love it. In fact, when I was driving out of my driveway today, my front yard is in full bloom with these pink primrose. And they're just gorgeous. It's a sea of pink and green, and I was thinking I should try to somehow capture that.
Yes.
Well, somehow.
Yeah. And speaking of pink.
Oh, pink, yes.
I think you have a story about
Yes, I do. My mother was obviously a big factor in my life, and she lived to be almost 98. And she, the last 8 years of her life, she had late onset dementia and lived with us for 7 years. But then the time came when, she needed around the clock care, and I had broken my leg and couldn't lift her anymore because of weight limits that I had been told by the doctor. So we found a place for her to go. And I would visit her after, I was still working at this time, and I would visit her after work every day. I was just my route. Instead of just going straight home, going to the assisted living facility. And during that time, once a week, I would do her nails because it was something I could do. And she enjoyed, she was one of the generation that got her hair done once a week and was always perfectly put together. Beautiful, wonderful makeup, perfect hair. My cousins used to say, "Oh, Aunt Lorraine, your skin is so beautiful and you always look so wonderful." And she loved jewelry and she loved color in her clothes. You know, she had lots of really nice outfits. And anyway, I would go to there, do her nails, do her toes once a month, at which point she would complain because she said I was hurting her, even though I wasn't, but she had really sensitive toes. It was always very humorous. "Oh, you're hurting me." "I am not." But then, unfortunately, COVID intervened and I had to stop going to the facility. And I would visit her through the screen window of the dining room of the facility, and she was in a wheelchair. And as she got older and her disease progressed, she spent more time in the chair and slept a lot, but they would bring her to the window and we chatted. And almost at the end of her life, she started sleeping a lot, more and more, like is the case. And one day, I think that one of the last memories I have of her is because I couldn't do her nails anymore. Women in the facility were doing them, volunteers, whatever. And she came out of her sort of dozy state and held up her hands with her fingers down so I could see all 10 fingers. And she gave me this look, because she really wasn't talking a lot at this point. She gave me the look and I read it, and I read it in her face. She was saying, "Can you believe this?" And her nails were this incredible Pepto-Bismol pink. And I think she was just appalled. And I was standing there going, "Oh my goodness, that's terrible." But I didn't say that. I just went, "Oh, well, we'll have to get that changed," or something. But it was the look. She didn't even have to say anything. She just had to hold those hands down and show me. And they were definitely pink. Well, right after that, she declined, maybe because of the big nails. I don't know.
That's what did it. They're the wrong color.
And she started, they notified me that they thought she was, you know, in the last days of her life. And when that happens, and in that case, they did allow me to go in and see her. And she was sleeping all the time and not speaking. And the day before she passed away, I was able to go in and I said, "Mom," she had her eyes closed all the time now, and she said, I said, "Mom, I'm going to do your nails." And I sat there and I, you know, stripped the color off, and I said, "I'm going to make them a really nice, subtle pink like you like." So I did the whole thing. I cleaned them off, soaked them. And put a wonderful pink on, and I chatted the whole time. I don't know what about, but there she was. She was her. I said, "Your nails are done, and they are a lovely pink." And she got a slight smile on her face, I think, but she really was not really with it. And the next day she passed away, but I knew that she had the right color nails, and she was content.
That's beautiful.
So, it was a nice thing I could do. One of the few things I could do for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also such a testament to how powerful color is.
Very much
and
so.
Even if she can't talk, she still knows her preference of color.
Yes, yes.
And that's what made her comfortable. And you were able to connect with that.
So. Yes. It was. It's a wonderful memory I have. I think that she was pleased, even if she couldn't really express it.
It's nice that was like one last thing you could do.
Yes, thanks.
So do you have any other advice for our listeners as to how to bring color into their lives and not be so scared for someone who is a little weary of it in certain points?
Well, I think for me, I spend a lot of time outdoors, and I really try to stay attuned to the environment, and I think appreciating the colors in nature is a wonderful way to think about incorporating color into your life, because you can bring that home. You can say, you know, "I saw some gorgeous green, and I think I'm going to do a room in that color, or maybe make a pillow, or whatever." But I mean, I get a lot from nature. Example being the primroses in my yard right now. My husband and I, there are a lot of state natural areas in the state of Wisconsin that are set aside, where nothing can be done to them. And we recently went to one that we just happened to see on a map, 88 acres, I believe it is, of hemlock and Beech Woods, and that was donated and set aside in 1976, and the trees in that are believed to be between 180 and 230 years old. These trees are huge, and they're incredibly tall. They tower over you, and when you're in the woods, it's still and cool, but the colors of the green and the light coming through it are just amazing. And it's things like that I use to sort of affect what I want to try to put into painting mm-hmm. or drawing or whatever. So that's an example. I think that I would say look to nature is a way to see what you can do, because, I mean, it's endless.
Mm-hmm.
What you can see, the colors, the light.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on Color Story today. I hope now you can see that the power of color goes beyond words. If you or someone you know has experienced Alzheimer's or dementia, please share your experience with me. What are your engagement strategies? Do they involve color? Follow me on Instagram at ClassicClaireColors or Twitter, or X, at ClaireNFT.